Happy New Year and welcome to Make It a Great Year, Volume 7. If you've made it this far, it means you've been with the school at least that long and appreciate your loyalty, and I hope you're getting immense value year after year. And I seek to improve that value all the time. If you have any feedback, by all means, let me know. This year's topic is called Extreme Ownership. Now, this is a slight reiteration of two blog posts that have been published at the Guitar Lessons Ithaca site. And if you want to read them, I encourage you to read them because it'll go into more detail. One is called Extreme Ownership in Music. It was published on December 24th, 2024. And the other one is called Own the Music, published on October 21st, 2024. To find those, you just go to guitarlessonsithaca.com/blog. Let's start with the book called Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. I never thought I would enjoy a book that had like war stories from the conflict in Iraq that happened in the 90s. But it was an amazing book, and I later found out that Jocko, one of the authors, has a podcast that's like extremely popular. And it was perfect timing, too, because this year I found that I really went out of my way to own the music. Like, I do a lot of different types of gigs. I play a lot of different types of songs, and that's what I love about performing, me personally. I never wanted to be in a band that plays the same songs in the same order, the same way every time. I just can't do that. It's not in my nature. I've tried. And I got fired from two cover bands way back when I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing. Got fired from both bands in the same year. But that's a whole nother story. Anyway, this year, you know, even though I play a lot of different music and I may only play that particular song for that particular event one time, and then that's it, you move on. So why spend all this time on it when you're only going to play it once? Well, that's why we're going to go into what a transformational experience I had, because it's way more than just playing it one time. So we're going to go through some of the advantages of owning the music. First is pride of ownership. It really builds your confidence, and it most importantly helps your musicianship. Like, I feel like now that I've owned pretty much everything all year, that's my new standard now. Like, I'm going to show up, not even to the gig, but to the first rehearsal. You know, Tim Pierce, the famous YouTube guy who's a famous studio guitarist, says, you know, you're not rehearsing at the rehearsal. You're rehearsing before the rehearsal so that you show up knowing exactly what you're doing, because this leads to one of the other ones, which is impressing others. Of course, when you do an event, you want to impress the people who booked you and the guests, so that the guests, you know, tell the owner how great you were, and you can get, there's surface level rewards too, like maybe you get a good review, or you might get a nice tip, or you may even get a gig from you know, by someone else who was at the event and saw you play. So impressing others is no small bit. So I'm digressing from the musicianship thing, but it's on the list. I'm gonna come back to musicianship in a minute. But the impressing others is a big thing. Like, it could also be impressing other musicians. And so, like, you go and do a good job. Like, one of the things I did was a tribute to a musician who had died. And on the gig was a pianist I had never played before. And I always wanted to meet and play with him. And he came up to me later and said, it was a joy making music with you. And I shook his hand, said, you too. And you never know. A musician like that could, you know, have keeping me in mind for other stuff. I mean, that's the way you get great gigs, you know, like John Scofield. How did he get the gig with Miles Davis? People referred him. Miles asked his band, who's a great guitarist, and they said John, and there you go. And then for the rest of John's life, his career has, you know, been unbelievably amazing, and it's in no small part due to his having been in Miles's band. So, and it only took one referral to get him that gig. But I would say that impressing others is not even, that's all surface level stuff. Like you can't, like you don't go to a gig going, you know, what am I going to get out of this? Who's going to notice? And because then you're going to leave feeling disappointed. No, it goes back to pride of ownership. I mean, you own the music and you just feel confident in yourself. You know, it's kind of like dating. I mean, excuse the personal digression for a minute, but, you know, several times in my life when I was single, I learned or relearned to just be confident being single in myself and not, like, constantly, like, looking for a partner or feeling bad about myself. Those times where I, you know, instilled my own sense of inner confidence and being okay with being single, then I found a partner, like, almost right away without even trying because I was confident in myself. So it's my new standard now. It's pride of ownership. So far we covered impressing others and... Oh, I'm sorry. The impressing others. There's one other thing. It's not just surface level. When someone comes up to you and says, I really loved your version of blah, blah, blah. You know, like the bride's mom came up to me and said, you learned the song Hasta la raíz. Hasta la raíz. It's H-A-S-T-A and then L-A and then R-A-I-Z. And the mom was like, yeah, you did a really good job. What, you know, did you have any trouble? Because it was all in Spanish. And at first I did. I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to transcribe all this? I don't understand a word and the phrasing is so fast. And it actually was a learning experience for me to do that. I'm going to get into that too. But it makes you feel good. The point is it makes you feel good when someone comes up to you and says, you know, you touched me in some way. You touched my life. You made my life better. And one time I did a wedding and I had to do this song, Happy If You're Happy. And that song is so dumb. I thought the song itself was so stupid. But the bride and groom were amazed with the version I did. They said they liked it better than the original. And I thought to myself, yeah, I hope so, because the original is terrible. But anyway, I'm digressing. But, you know, it makes you feel good. So far we got pride of ownership makes you feel good within yourself. And when you impress others and they let you know, it makes you feel good too. Next thing, it says connection. And it talks about how music is a spiritual experience. I think this goes with what I was just saying. You know, and you connect with people on a spiritual level when you own the music and you feel it, they feel it, and everyone benefits. And then the next one is pure play. Like, it's not about hitting the right notes anymore. It's about, again, the spiritual part of playing. It's about experiencing the artistic beauty of the piece and enjoying yourself. You know, it's not work anymore. It's just experiencing the joy of playing when you own the music that well and you don't no longer have to think about, okay, let me make sure I nail this transition into the bridge, or I got to watch this ending, you know, or something, whatever. It's a whole different experience. And then, of course, that leads to the next one, which is self-expression. When you own the music, you can really put your heart and soul into it. And how you play it and what you play and who you're playing with is all a form of major self-expression, which is one of the primary reasons to play music in the first place. This reminds me of a couple of quotes I'd like to share on playing music, which I'll do in the next file.